I'd like to move now to agenda item number 7, the discussion presentation regarding the statewide mercury program. Harley Nielsen from the staff.
Okay.
Thank
well,
you.
I guess I'll start. Good evening.
Appreciate it.
Members
Thank
of the board. Looks like most everyone else has left, but if you're still here, thanks for sticking around for me.
Perhaps we could close the door in the back.
Sure. Anyway, my name is Carly Nielsen. I'm an environmental scientist working in the TMDL, Basin Planning Unit, in the South Lake Tahoe office. And today I'm going to be presenting to you guys on the statewide mercury program and other things. So for today's agenda, we are going to start off with an overview of the statewide mercury program for reservoirs specifically, and I'm going to give you guys a bit of background on mercury itself. And then its impairment, a little bit of the statewide program progress, and then some of the potential strategies within that program for reducing mercury. And from there, I'm going to transition and talk to you guys a bit about the Lahontan Region 6 mercury issues and talk to you about a few of our lakes and studies that have been done or in the process. So why does California need a mercury program? Well, many of our state's rivers, creeks, streams, lakes, and reservoirs have fish that are unsafe for humans or wildlife to eat because of the mercury in the water. I'm not sure if you know this, but mercury is a neurotoxin, and when it enters the human body, it interferes with the brain and the nervous system, and pregnant women and children are especially susceptible. So, for the most part, a statewide control program will be the most efficient way of addressing this problem, rather than having to do it one water body at a time, which is what the regions have, you know, been doing so far. And there are a lot of other programs that are doing this as well, statewide. This is just the one that I'm working on specifically. So, where are our mercury impairments in California? If you look at this really nice map that I did not make, the green here shows actually the waters that are actually being dealt with by the regional boards that have elevated mercury levels. So predominantly those are being dealt with TMDLs. And then the map shows 74 reservoirs in the red triangles, and then the little red lines are rivers that are known to have elevated fish mercury. So those are on the 303D list, commonly known as the impaired water bodies list. And as you can see from the map, Region 6 has three different impaired waters in our region, three little red squiggly lines there. But we're going to talk about that a little bit later in this presentation, don't worry. So let's talk a little bit about the statewide mercury program. It's currently comprised of two main components, including the statewide mercury control program for reservoirs and the development of standards for safe amounts of methylmercury in tissues of fish. There could be additional components under the statewide mercury control program, and they could include fish tissue mercury objectives for cultural and subsistence beneficial uses, or control programs for other waters, including rivers. So, the fish tissue objectives are being developed to be protective of people who consume locally caught fish, protect wildlife that consume locally caught fish, protective of threatened and endangered species that consume locally caught fish, and to provide the standards to evaluate impaired water bodies and provide targets for the statewide mercury control program for reservoirs. But today I'm going to talk to you guys a bit more about the statewide mercury control program for reservoirs because I participate in the program in the public participation and the interagency component. And I'm also on the steering committee, so I review a lot of the bigger technical documents. And not only that, but the group is mostly comprised of Central Valley Water Board, San Francisco Bay Water Board, and State Water Board staff, because they're the ones who have dealt with mercury impairments in the past and actually developed some of these initial TMDLs. We also have Patty as one of our MCC sponsors on this program, and she's a very integral component in it. The MCC sponsors are responsible for attending meetings and reviewing a lot of these technical documents and providing a lot of really valuable input on how to move forward with this program. So, let's talk a little bit about mercury. Where do the sources of mercury come from that enter the reservoir? So, we have wind and rain transport Mercury, as you can see from the left-hand side of this slide, from California and global industrial emissions. This is also commonly known as atmospheric deposition. And it is widely regarded as the main cause of elevated mercury. For the state of California, a lot of those sources include cement plants, waste incinerators, petroleum refineries, and geothermal power plants. And internationally, it's the burning of fossil fuels, particularly coal. Inactive mercury mines and waste piles in the coastal range are also a source. And historical gold mines, mills, and dredging in the Sierra Nevada and Trinities, where mercury was used to amalgamate gold ore. In some places in California, urban stormwater runoff and urban wastewater is just discharged upstream of the reservoirs. And in some cases, it's actually naturally occurring in the soils and the springs that drain down to the reservoir. So in our region, many of the sources are from legacy mining sites and atmospheric deposition. And those sources can most often be a little bit more difficult and not as transparent to address. Nearly all of these sources of mercury are in the inorganic form when they enter the reservoir. And then they become converted to the more toxic inorganic form called methylmercury, which is the form that bioaccumulates in fish. So we're going to talk a little bit now about the reservoir chemistry. So it's mostly what happens in the water itself. In the summer, thermal stratification sets up, and that's where we have a warm top layer and a cold bottom layer. And you can see from this diagram here that the top warm layer is a lighter blue and the colder bottom layer of the reservoir is the darker blue. There's very little mixing between the top and the bottom, and that results that oxygen is depleted from these bottom layers. So mercury in the bottom sediments is converted by naturally occurring bacteria into the more toxic form, methylmercury, and it diffuses into the water column. Some of this is lost through natural processes, but then other parts of it is produced in the reservoir, actually gets bioaccumulated into the fish. So let's take another look at mercury bioaccumulation here. As I said before, methylmercury is a bioaccumulative pollutant. That is, it concentrates as it goes up the food chain. So the single largest increase in concentration is in the difference between the water and the algae. As you can see here, it concentrates over 100,000 times. And then it concentrates up to the zooplankton, the prey fish, and then all the way up to the predator fish. And some examples of that are trout and bass. So we are most concerned about the toxic levels of mercury in fish that birds, like the osprey here, and the fish that people eat. The choice of which species are stocked can affect the fish mercury levels at the top of the food chain. So I'm going to transition here and talk to you guys a bit about the statewide mercury control program for reservoirs, kind of where we are in the process. So far we've created a stakeholder plan. We have a website that's up and running. We have a few fact sheets on there as well. We've held CEQA scoping meetings in March 2012. We actually had four different locations since this is a statewide program, and those were in Oakland, Sacramento, Riverside, and Redding, kind of in the hot spots of where we have a lot of the mercury issues. And we also have an informational board item at State Board planned for April 23rd, 2013, and I encourage all of you guys, it should be webcasted, and so I can provide that information if you would like to be part of that as well. Internally, we have a draft framework, and that's been circulating. And then, as I said before, Patty's part of this MCC sponsors meetings. We've held two of those as well. We have another one planned later on this month, so they're pretty continual. And we have a draft policy document that's been circulating, and we're actually hoping to get it to the actual MCC in June of 2013 this year to kind of keep moving that review so we can get it out to the public. And then there's also been a technical report that's in development at this point. So, as I said, the staff is currently working on the development of the technical report and are exploring a multitude of implementation tactics to reduce mercury in reservoirs. Some of the initial proposed strategies are as follows. Programs to reduce mercury input include source control, and so that's point sources and non-point sources. And some of the implementation tactics could include mine remediation and monitoring and enforcing NPDES and MS4 mercury discharges. And for air admissions, the program may rely solely on existing and future air admission rules for global, the U.S., and the California Air Resources Board to reduce atmospheric deposition. And then to decrease methylation in the reservoirs, one approach is to foster innovation with reservoir owners and operators and encourage and support studies and pilot projects to evolve management practices. And then to reduce bioaccumulation in fish, we hope to work with the fishery managers and study the effects of adjusting some of these stocking practices. So this can include stocking fish that bioaccumulate to a lesser extent in some of our reservoirs, and or maybe overfishing some of our reservoirs with some of those top tier fish and kind of reducing those populations. So now I'm going to kind of transition here into the Lahontan region and what we're doing in our region specifically. So currently our impaired water bodies list, commonly known as the 303D list, has three mercury impaired water bodies. Bodie Creek, which we know is from historic memory, and then we have Mammoth Creek and the Susan River, which the sources for that, those are currently unknown. So right now, staff are currently working on assessing data for the 2012 integrated report, which will update this 303D list. It is expected that additional water bodies will be listed for mercury impairment in this upcoming cycle. Why can we expect more listings? Well, in 2006, the Water Board Surface Water Ambient Monitoring Program, commonly known as SWAMP, formed the Bioaccumulation Oversight Group. I know it's a lot of acronyms, but which is commonly known as BOG. And actually, our other staff member, Tom Sook, is currently a member of this group. But they started the Oversight Group, to develop plans for and guide implementation of swamp bioaccumulation monitoring. They started with a two-year screening study of bioaccumulation in sport fish in California lakes and reservoirs. And you guys may or may not have heard about this. But the data was published in 2010. And so we expect that this will be evaluated in the 2012 listing cycle, although it hasn't quite come down the pipeline to us yet. So what did this data show for our region? Well, after looking at the this original screening data, we showed that Silverwood Lake and Little Rock Reservoir exceeded the Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment, which is commonly known as OEHA, has no consumption threshold for fish mercury. So what happened from there? So after we got this information in 2010, SWAMP performed additional sampling specific to Little Rock Reservoir and Silverwood Lake to provide they decided that we needed to pretty much do more sampling so we could have sufficient data so we could actually create the OEHA safe eating guidelines for these reservoirs because there wasn't enough data to actually create those yet. So to give you an idea, Silverwood Lake is in the San Bernardino County, which is about 30 miles from here. And they did sampling, the field work in 2011. And this was all done with swamp funds. And we expect that they're going to complete the safe eating guidelines by the end of this year. So for Little Rock Reservoir, just to give you an idea, it's in Los Angeles County, about 80 miles from here. And they're hoping to do the field work in 2013, get the data submitted to OEHA in 2014, and hopefully by mid-2014, OEHA will have that information published in the safe eating guidelines on their website. So besides this, what other additional listings can we expect on the 2012 303D list? This is where it gets a little bit fishy, pardon the pun, but we're not really sure what the State Board is going to use for our objective so far for the mercury fish tissue. So based on speculation, additional water bodies could be listed. If they decide to go ahead and use the OEHA no consumption threshold, which is 0.44 micrograms per gram wet weight, Silverwood Lake and Little Rock Reservoir will be listed, which are the two turquoise little stars here in the corner of the map, or the bottom corner of the map. And then if EPA guidance of 0.3 micrograms per gram is used for the listing, then Upper Twin Lake and Lake Arrowhead will be considered impaired. And then if the OE have fish contaminant goals, which is FCG, commonly known, is of 0.22 micrograms per gram is used, then Topaz Lake will be listed. And you can see those with the little red stars. Now, if they decide to use the OEHA advisory tissue level 3 of 0.070 micrograms per gram, which keep in mind this is the most restrictive OEHA advisory level, there could be the additional listings of Eagle Lake, Boca Reservoir, Prosser Creek Reservoir, Lake Tahoe, Fallen Leaf Lake, Indian Creek Reservoir, Lake Crowley, Crater Lake, Pleasant Valley Reservoir, Palmdale Lake, and Lake Gregory. And those are illustrated by the blue stars. That would be pretty restrictive, and so we're not certain what's going to happen with that. As I said before, we are still waiting, but just to give you an idea of the breadth of the different listings that could happen based on which objective we end up using. So let's take one more look at these bog studies that were, you know, the two-year screening study. So 38 lakes and reservoirs were screened in Region 6. 22 of those did not exceed the OEHA fish contaminant goal. So what is the fish contaminant goal, in case you guys aren't as familiar? They're estimates of contaminant levels in fish that pose no significant risk to individuals consuming sport fish at a standard consumption rate of 8 ounces per week. So that means that over 55% of our lakes and reservoirs screened are not considered impaired with the fish tissue mercury. But for water bodies that exceed the OEHA fish consumption criterion, for example, Little Rock Reservoir and Silverwood Lake, what can we expect to happen next? I think you guys may have this Donner Lake Safe Eating Guidelines pamphlet in front of you, but it gives you a little bit of an easier look here. But this is an example of the OEHA Safe Eating Guidelines. And this is at Donner Lake, and the sampling was once again performed with swamp funds after there was, you know, a thought that there could be some issues there. And it was published and posted on OEHA's website in 2011. As you can see from here, Donner Lake is actually, you know, pretty safe. You can pretty much eat any fish at least once per week for the ones that they did catch there and they did screen. So it's one of the better advisories. But how do the warnings actually get posted at the water bodies themselves? So in general, the regions have assisted county health departments, OEHA, and other agencies by gathering and providing the data and then commenting on draft postings and coordinating closely with them to get it posted. OEHA in the past has dealt specifically with creating these guidelines and posting them on their webpage, but due to staff constraints and budgetary constraints, they haven't necessarily done any of the postings at the water bodies themselves. So, and our responsibility usually in the past as the water board, and this happens in many different regions, is we actually are the ones who go and collect the data, but we also are not the responsible entities for necessarily posting at these water bodies due to the same issues of the constraints we have with staff and budgetary resources. So I was talking with some folks in San Francisco, and they have a large area, especially in the Bay, of postings there. And they get largely posted by the county health folks. So the California Department of Public Health staff keeps track of where the signs get posted. And then actually just an interested group of volunteer individuals go out and monitor and see where they're lacking signs and go out and do additional postings where they think is necessary. So you can see in this advisory example here to the right, this is at Pinto Lake in Region 3, and they worked with the County of Santa Cruz to post there, and this was created and posted to show that the fish are actually contaminated with DDT there. So how is the statewide mercury program going to help the Lahontan region? So many of Region 6 water bodies have yet to be evaluated for mercury impairment, as you've seen from some of this information I just shared with you. With additional sampling and studying, I think we're going to find that a lot more of our water bodies are actually impaired, and some of those could possibly be reservoirs. So this program could actually be totally transferable to some of our reservoirs in a certain regard. Many of our current and future impairments by mercury may be from atmospheric deposition and legacy mining. And the statewide mercury control program for reservoirs will include implementation tactics to address these sources. So as discussed earlier in this presentation, some of the implementation strategies may include relying on reservoir water chemistry management and fisheries management, along with programs to current and future programs to control air emissions. The program hopes to actually encompass existing and future listings, and they ultimately think it could control 500 to 700 reservoirs within the state of California, because they kind of suspect that about half of the reservoirs we have in the state of California are currently impaired with mercury. So in moving forward, we hope to work with our reservoir managers and operators to foster studies and pilot programs, applying some of the implementation ideas and techniques described in this presentation. And for us as a region, for Region 6, the Lujan region, by participating in the process, we at least get our foot in the door and make sure that some of our needs are met in the process of developing this. And that was kind of our hope for moving forward with this. And hopefully it can be applicable to many of our mercury impairments that we discover in the future. So with that, we do have a project webpage, and I encourage everyone to go ahead and give it a gander if you haven't already, and we do have the fact sheets on there, so feel free. And then if you do want to sign up for email notices for both the fish tissue objectives or the statewide control program for reservoirs, we do have an email sign up, and they'll notify you of any meetings they may have, including the upcoming state board informational item, and then you can also email as well. So any questions?
Thank you. Questions?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know a little bit more about what methyl mercury ethylation is.
What it is?
Yes, what it is.
So when it enters the reservoir, it's in the organic form. So it's not as harmful when it's actually in the waterfall.
What does that mean, it's in the organic form? Sorry,
Inorganic.
Oh, okay. So what was the question? Just how it changes?
Yes, so it gets into the reservoir.
Okay, so it gets in the inorganic form, and then it gets pretty much eaten up by the bacteria and then the algae, and then it gets methylized into the tissues.
Now, what does that mean, methylized?
It means that it becomes something that you can ingest and can become harmful and actually start bioaccumulating into your own body, if you're talking about the human health risk.
Comes combined with living material such that it can be absorbed by other living material.
Exactly.
What does that mechanism look like? I mean, what's the formula for mercury combined with organic substance look like? This is organic chemistry we're talking about.
Yeah, it is. And I'm not as totally familiar with it, but it's the hydrocarbons. And
it becomes part of a hydrocarbon.
So the carbon,
methyl groups are carbon and hydrogen, right? So that's when it methylizes. So the carbon is the native, it's in the sediments.
So how would you go about in a reservoir reducing the possibility for methylation then?
Yeah, some ideas are to add oxygen, oxygenation systems.
Yeah.
Another idea, which is still in the infancy, so I take it with a grain of salt, but is adding small amounts of nitrogen. And to be honest, a lot of these ideas are still being explored, which is why this program actually has a placeholder for kind of going a non-regulatory route with the reservoir operators and actually working with them to foster some of these studies that haven't necessarily gone beyond some of the infancy stages and see what actually works. So
I will add something here. Region 5 down in the Central Valley has been working with this with a lot of farmers on this to try to reduce it. And essentially what they're trying to do is keep the dissolved oxygen levels up by managing the levels of the water and all the vegetation in there. Because when it goes, when the oxygen is reduced, then those are the chemical conditions that are ripe for the methylation.
When
it goes from
stratified.
HG to the, with the methyl group on top of it. So that's what a lot of this, working with the reservoirs, very similar to working with the farmers in the field.
Yeah, well, the San Francisco's been doing a lot of the same thing in the Bay Area as well. So they've been kind of the lead in the technical component because they've been working with a lot of these issues in the Delta.
That wasn't so hard.
I'm a little tired, I'm sorry.
Just
I had the same question that Eric did, so it's partially been answered. So are we to assume that pure free mercury is not a problem, but when it's methylized it is?
It's not a problem in terms of a human health issue for ingestion, for the fish tissue problem. So it's hard for me to talk too much about the specifics of the implementation tactics because, to be honest, it's all still very rudimentary and it's still going through the MCC sponsors, which is the first group of review. So it's sort of at that point where it's not necessarily ready for hefty public discussion, I guess. But the idea is there's a lot of things on the table at this point of how to necessarily deal with the water chemistry in the reservoir and deal with other tactics, because the idea is it's going to take a long time to get this mercury out of these reservoirs. It's understood that it's going to be hundreds of years. So the big thing is how to reduce the human health risk in a shorter amount of time just to make it a safer environment for, you know, humans and our wildlife and things of that nature.
If I could add, I think this is one of the statewide policies that can be rather controversial when it hits the streets, because the problem is bigger than people anticipated. The solutions are hard and not easy, yet you still have people consuming these fish and not knowing it's dangerous, particularly in the Bay Delta and other areas where you have a lot of low-income families that fish more than one piece of fish a week in their diets. So this is a real important policy to go forward that we need to deal with. And this is just reservoirs. We haven't touched streams yet. But it's real important. It's a good step forward. We have to do this.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be difficult for the public to see, you know, an implementation plan of hundreds of years rather than, you know, the usual cookie cutter 20-year program, which is what most of us are used to. So.
Anything else?
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I had the same question, so I won't ask it a third time. Thank you very much. It's always difficult to be the end of the line, and you did a really excellent job. This concludes the agenda for this evening, and we will reconvene tomorrow at 8:30. Thank you all.